We know the piece so well. It's Bolero by Maurice Ravel. Brett van Gansbecker suggests that Bolero contains a persistent underlying three-part rhythm that's similar to what's found in the Spanish dance music of the same name. However, Ravel was quick to point out that his bolero was not as close to a traditional bolero as its title might suggest. In fact, he'd originally titled the work Fandango, after a Spanish dance that shares a similar rhythm. This suggests that Ravel's approach was to use the basic rhythmic underpinnings of Spanish dance music in order to convey an inherently Spanish character, rather than to rigidly follow any particular dance form. In 1930, Ravel commented, "As far as bolero is concerned, I'd like to say, to avoid any misunderstanding, that in reality there is no such bolero. That is, I've not given this piece the typical nature of this Spanish dance, intentionally so. Its theme and rhythm are repeated to the point of obsession, without any picturesque intention. Both theme and accompaniment were deliberately given a Spanish character. I've always had a predilection for Spanish things. You see, I was born near the Spanish border. And there is also another reason. My parents met in Madrid." The original production of Bolero by Ida Rubinstein's dance company consisted of a simple premise that closely mirrored the cumulative structure of the score. A young girl, Rubinstein, begins dancing a bolero atop a table in a dimly lit Spanish cafe, and other dancers join in as the music progresses, crescendoing until the climax. Ravel, who was inspired by the imagery of factories, also envisioned a factory for the background of the performances. As he imagined it, the machinery would provide the perfect visual metaphor for the relentless, unwavering rhythm of the music. Bolero's impact extended beyond the dance stage, though, and Scott Davey takes us to Hollywood, saying the combination of sinuous melody, mesmerizing rhythm, and slowly building orchestral crescendo has inspired the imagination of Hollywood. In 1934, a film starring George Raft and Carol Lombard, titled Bolero, made much of the simmering tension underpinning the work. In 1979, the music was similarly used to illustrate Dudley Moore's attraction to Bo Derek in Ten. And beyond film, to the world of art on ice. To universal acclaim, the gold medal-winning ice skating duo Torvill and Dean danced to a considerably shortened recording of the piece at the 1984 Sarajevo Winter Olympics. We'll be drawn in by the alluring rhythms of Ravel's Bolero as dancers swirl across the stage at the Community Arts Center when the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra presents a concert titled Rhythms of the Dance on Tuesday, March 18th. WSO music director Gerardo Edelstein conducts the performance, and we had a chance to speak with him by phone about his own passion for the dance and his enthusiasm for this program.
So glad we have a chance here to chat about this coming up concert that is all about dance. And yeah, I have to confess that as a teenager, I won a competition dancing with actually my wife. So it was not as a teenager, actually. You know, I really liked to dance as a teenager, but after we married, you know, we both won a competition. And, you know, it's something that I always liked, and I was always attracted to dance music. And I conducted several productions of, you know, the Nutcracker back in my days in Houston with the Houston Ballet. I collaborated with pretty much every dance company, you know, in every place I've been. So I thought it was time to collaborate with a group. Actually, I didn't know that exists here in Williamsport as the LKW Dance Center, that thanks to He and Jabour here at the office, I got to meet with the director, and seems like a fantastic, fantastic company who trains young dancers, and they, you know, are really, really excited to collaborate with us for this concert.
What's wonderful about this program, Gerardo, is that you have such a wide range of composers and countries represented.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's the other thing that I always like, because believe it or not, even though there are some things in common between, you know, we could say the bolero, the tango, we are performing a conga, a malambo from an Argentinian composer, waltzes, you can tell as you listen more and more the difference between those dances, and you know, different steps and different rhythms, and you know, there are some more melodic, some actually more festive. I mean, it's really, really interesting to hear that variety on each single piece, and you know, depending from which country the music comes from. And like to mention also the, you know, Brahms Hungarian dances and the Polovetian dances by Borodin. I have to say that there is a little bit for everybody here, and all this variety will, I'm sure, will delight our audience. Plus the idea of featuring some of these pieces, some dancers as well. And not only that, we'll have for the, as I mentioned, the Brahms Hungarian dances, the Williamsburg Symphony Youth Orchestra will join us and will play side by side with them.
And while we're speaking about young performers, you have a very talented pianist who will join you as well.
Yes, yeah. Richard Chiang, and I hope I pronounce his last name properly, is this year's Young Artist Competition winner, and he's 14 years old, believe it or not. He's from Bloomsburg, and we are delighted to have him join with the symphony and playing the Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, the first movement, one of my favorites and the favorite of many, many people, perhaps one of the most famous piano concertos ever written. And it's the one that actually made Rachmaninoff, you know, famous. There is a story about this, that after he premiered his first symphony, he went to, and it was a big failure, he went to a big depression, and had to, you know, go through therapy sessions for a couple of years until he came up with this concerto, and things completely changed, you know, around, and he became one of the most famous composers and pianists of those days. So we are really excited to feature him, and I think that that concerto fits perfectly this program, you know, for its beautiful melodies and large harmonies, and watching a 14 years old playing such a difficult, you know, challenging piece will be, you know, delightful.
Remind our listeners what it means for young players to sit side by side with professionals. What are the kinds of things that they can come away with after an experience like this?
Yeah, so I think that for them, it's the opportunity to play with our professional players, sitting by them, because we will place one of our musicians with one student side by side. And, you know, just it's like when I was a student, every time that I have the chance to hear my teacher play or sitting with him and play something with my teacher will be glorious, you know, just because everything that the teacher will say in lessons, you know, then suddenly applies to the playing by themselves, and gives you that feeling of wow. So look how well I can play in a few years, and how beautiful it sounds. And I think it's very special, you know, it's very special. It's like, I don't know, just to compare, you know, people could be more familiar, you know, just in sports, if you get to know or to play alongside one of the big names, Michael Jordan, if you play basketball, or LeBron James, can you imagine for a kid to get that opportunity? So we don't have LeBron James or Michael Jordan in the orchestra, but the feeling of that idea, just to sharing the music with someone with more experience and the caliber of our musicians, I can see how much our youth orchestra students can get out of it.
Well, you said the magic word for so many listeners, Gerardo, and that is Ravel's Bolero. Why is that a piece that appeals so much to so many?
Yeah, it's still puzzling me, so I want to see, because this is the first time ever I will perform the Bolero by Ravel, even though I listen to it a million times and enjoy it every time and see the reaction from audience. You know, I think there is something special in that piece. Because people may be familiar, it's one tune that is repeated over and over throughout the orchestra, pretty much showcasing every single instrument in the orchestra. And it starts really soft and grows up with a constant rhythm in the snare drum. And it's almost like you think you reached the maximum, but no, there is one more time, and there is one more time. And louder, and more instruments join for the big climax. And on top of this, we will have the dancers that will accompany this, because this piece was originally written for ballet, for dancing. And, you know, I think it's one of those tunes that captures your attention right away, and it's so contagious that it feels like, you know, you don't want to leave it. You don't want to leave the tune ever. And when it's done, it's, oh, is this really over? And it also, Erica, this will fit perfectly, because this year is the 150th birthday of Ravel. So we will celebrate his birthday by playing probably his most famous piece. And of course, I don't want to forget to mention that Tchaikovsky, we couldn't miss Tchaikovsky in this concert. We all know his famous Three Ballets and Nutcracker, Sleeping Beauty. And this time we are performing something from Swan Lake, one of the mazurkas, and a scene from that, also that beautiful ballet that will be conducted by our assistant conductor, Rebecca O'Brien, that has been with us since the beginning of the season. A wonderful conductor, and I'm very excited also for her to have this opportunity to conduct one more time our wonderful orchestra.
And we understand that Rebecca received her master's in orchestral conducting and music theory from Penn State, and she's gone on as a guest conductor studying for her doctoral degree as well. How wonderful that she'll be with you. I don't suppose it's easy to conduct Swan Lake?
No, there is nothing, I have to say, Erica, there is nothing easy to conduct. But, you know, when we get to dances, and especially that much variety, you know, you have to really understand, be into the groove and understand the rhythms. And there are sometimes certain, you know, liberties that they needed to be taken. For instance, you know, we are playing the Emperor Waltzes by Strauss. And also very famous piece, one of Strauss's also most popular. And, you know, the waltz, you will think, oh, yeah, it's in three, you know, boom, cha-cha, but it's definitely nothing even close like that, because you have to accompany it really well. There are many liberties, what we call rubatos and tempo changes. And, you know, you have to be really sensitive, and you have to really understand the dance in order to do it. And, you know, I would have to say the same thing with, I mentioned earlier, the conga by Arturo Marquez, or the malambo by Ginastera, you know, two, one South American and one Mexican dance, that they are tricky. They can be really tricky, and you really need to understand and be familiar with how these dances go. I did a lot of watching, a lot of listening through my life, and as I said, being a good dancer myself, I think I will really enjoy greatly doing this concert.
To what degree are these dances, those dances you just mentioned, or the Brahms, for example, rooted in folk dance, folk music?
Yes, yeah. So the majority, I have to say, probably the only one that it's original could be the waltz, because the waltz comes from the minuet that was the old-time dance that the waltz comes from. But, you know, the waltzes were danced in big salons, you know, usually people of the higher society that will throw these parties and will hire an orchestra and will hire Strauss to to be the one conducting and leading. Those are a little more sophisticated dances. But when we talked about, again, the conga, the Hungarian dances, that they're very folky, you know, or the malambo, or even the Polovetsian dances. There are folk dances from Russia. So the influence of folk music, it's huge in most of this music.
Now, tell us about the stage at the Community Arts Center and how you accommodate the dancers.
Yeah, well, you know, the best way to do it is to place in the orchestra all the way back as much as we can, because it's still a large orchestra. But we are very fortunate that the stage of the CAC is very large, and they will be able to dance across and behind me, in front of the orchestra, without any problem. We'll have six dancers, and featuring the director, Olivia Swank, who is the director of the dance company.
Do you, as conductor, keep an eye on the lead dancer or on Olivia? What about that interaction between live, breathing dancers?
Yeah, you have great questions, Erica. And so we will work together prior. I did send her already a few tempos, you know, speed of how we will play these dances, so she can have a reference. And, you know, these days you can hear, listen, watch many, many recordings. And that's what we agreed on, that we will work on certain, you know, famous recordings of this music. So then it will be much easier to follow, because the fact that I will not be able to see them, it will complicate things if I decide to change things last minute that, you know, I want. I will try to help as much as possible and, you know, make them feel very comfortable so then they know what to do. I remember when I worked with the Houston Ballet, and I was back then assistant conductor of the company, and I would not have the chance, basically, to work or to rehearse with the orchestra or the dancers, because they have over there like 30, 40 performances of the Nutcracker during the season. So I will have to jump in. The music director will tell me, you know, tonight you go, in a week you go, after tomorrow you go. And that makes it really, really challenging. But the fact that I was sitting on every rehearsal and writing down everything that I needed to know from every dancer, and especially, again, tempi, you know, speed of the dances that are extremely important, because it's very physical for them. So making sure to keep those very steady, so then they know what to do and they will not trip or fall because we are doing the wrong thing.
I'm sure that all audiences in any of the performances that you do, whether it be Mahler or whatever, are moving in their seats. But it would seem like once the audience gathers and you start with this dance program, people are, I'm sure, one way or the other, shifting, moving feet, clapping hands quietly and things like that. It's that kind of program, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I will encourage that, because, you know, I think that the communication between the orchestra and the audience needs to be, you know, 100%. And if we are able to communicate well and to inspire them to dance, and they want to stand and start dancing, you know, I have no problem with that. You know, the opposite. I will encourage at some point the clapping and dancing, whoever feels like it. I wish, you know, we didn't have seats in the audience, so then people actually could dance. You know, but that's a good idea maybe for the future. We'll see how this one goes. Maybe the next one we'll try in a huge salon and have everybody dancing, actually. Thank you. Thank you for talking with me. And I hope to see you at the concert and many, many, many people just to come and fill out the CAC, because it's going to be an evening of fantastic music making, fun, entertaining, and played by our Jim from Williamsburg, our wonderful Williamsburg Symphony.
Gerardo Edelstein, music director and conductor of the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra, speaking about the Rhythms of the Dance program, and that's this Tuesday, March 18th at 7:30 at the Community Arts Center in downtown Williamsport. rhythms of the dance will include Ginastera's fiery malambo, Hungarian dances 5 and 6 by Brahms, Ravel's intense bolero, the Emperor Waltz by Johann Strauss the Younger, the Polvetsian dances by Borodin, and more. And not just music, but dance, with Olivia Swink and her ensemble from LKW Dance Center taking the stage. The evening will also showcase the talents of 14-year-old pianist Richard Chiang, the victor of the WSO 2025 Young Artists Competition. He will present the first movement of Piano Concerto No. 2 by Rachmaninoff. He started his musical journey at 7. He's played at Carnegie Hall. He's clinched top honors in many competitions. That's Rhythms of the Dance, and it's this Tuesday, March 18th, at the Community Arts Center, 220 West 4th Street in Williamsport. For more information, on the web, caclive.com, caclive.com, or williamsportsymphony.org, williamsportsymphony.org.